this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
All right, guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. Today on the podcast, we have Keith Hayes from NYPA. He shares a really interesting perspective on how hydropower can help businesses, and then we talk a little bit about the future of energy and why we're going clean energy or the benefits of going clean. So it's a really interesting episode for anybody that owns a business and anybody that's interested in the future of energy, which probably should be everybody. So I hope you guys enjoy. I'll see you at the outro. All right, so welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so for those that don't know, explain NYPA a little bit.
So NYPA is a public authority created under the law by then Governor Roosevelt in 1931. We are the largest public power organization in the United States. We provide some of the lowest cost electricity in the nation and probably in the world, to be quite frank with you. We operate 16 generating facilities and over 1,400 circuit miles of transmission. Our main offices are located in White Plains, New York, and then we have offices around the state, Buffalo, Messina, out in, we used to have offices in New York City, we don't anymore. So White Plains, Buffalo, Messina, and Central New York, Clark Energy Center.
Where do you work out of?
I work out of the White Plains office.
Oh, okay.
So it's about a half hour north of New York City.
How often do you get up here to Buffalo?
Not often enough.
Yeah.
Rich Smith, who's my business development director up here in Buffalo, I try to get up here at least every couple of months. Definitely once a quarter.
All right. Okay, so I think, at least in my experience, we talk about, you know, this power a lot, but I don't think a lot of people exactly understand, or even myself understand, how it is generated, how it is created. Can you go through some of that a little bit?
Sure. So NYPA operates some very large hydro facilities in the state. One key facility right here in Western New York, that's the Niagara Power Project. And essentially what you have is you have water that's diverted from the Niagara River. It fills a forebay. That forebay is drained down, and the water runs through these pumps, if you will, which turns a generator, creates electricity. So it's all natural, it's all renewable, it's all clean.
So what's the benefit of having an asset like that in right in our backyard in Buffalo, Niagara?
Oh, it's a tremendous benefit. So since your fuel is essentially free, the water doesn't cost anything, you eliminate that cost from the cost of the electricity that's generated. What that means is that translates into low energy prices for consumers or for businesses and other entities that are qualified to use that power. So when you have businesses that have very thin operating margins to begin with, or if you have a business that is energy intensive, that low cost power means everything for them, you know, creating, retaining jobs, growing their business, investing in the region, in the state. It makes all the difference in the world. Having that unit located right here in Western New York means that there's an opportunity to revitalize, rebuild, expand, grow businesses in Western New York consistent with the governor's goals and objectives.
So generally, what's NYPA's role in economic development?
So our role is to use these very valuable assets of the state that we have stewardship over to create, retain jobs and capital investments through businesses across the state. So just to give you an idea of what that means, through our economic development programs via these hydro facilities, currently we're responsible for creating or retaining over 400,000 jobs and over $33 billion in capital investment commitments.
What's that time period?
So that's a running time period.
Right.
So that is every month as we either allocate or claw back power, that number is updated every month. So that's the current number. It's been that way for the last few years, to be honest with you. It's been kind of consistent. We're looking to grow that number, obviously. So we're looking to attract businesses to the state, certainly to Western New York.
What type of industries or companies
is hydropower, this type of clean energy, best suited for?
It's best suited for very energy-intensive businesses and businesses that employ the largest number of people and make the most significant capital investments in the region in their business. So, you know, a business like General Motors or Yahoo are key examples of businesses in the area that create a lot of jobs and have intense capital investment. And it's not only the direct jobs, but the indirect jobs that are also created as a result of these businesses growing in the state.
Are companies that work on multiple shifts, like I'm picturing an advanced manufacturing company that works, you know, around the clock, is that somebody that is a prime candidate for this?
Absolutely. And what you're alluding to is a high load factor customer. Any business that has a high load factor will make the best use of this hydropower. So what that means is, to your point, somebody who runs three shifts, somebody who works 24/7, 365, they're going to have a consistent power factor across 365 days of the year. We call that a high load factor customer. So what it means is that they're going to consume the highest percentage of hydro energy with their usage, which is actually beneficial and is actually going to reduce their energy costs.
All right, so how much power do you guys, maybe specifically the Niagara plant, how much do you guys produce?
So the Niagara plant has a net dependable capacity of 2,675 megawatts. So depending on its capacity factor, you're talking at least 2,400 megawatts of power.
And what's something to compare that to kind of put it in context, just, you know, so listeners can understand just how much that is?
Well, it's a tremendous amount of power. Right. Yeah, I can't tell you how many houses that would power in the state.
Yeah,
but it's significant. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, just from that plant, it feeds a good portion of 51 municipal and rural electric cooperatives throughout the state. It feeds over 120 plus large energy intense businesses in Western New York, and a portion of it goes to the neighboring states as well. So it's quite significant.
So from an economic development standpoint, how early in the process does this question get asked, or that this is something that Buffalo Niagara can brand itself on and really push out there as an asset?
If we're talking about attracting a business to Western New York, I think it should be part of the initial conversation. Again, what a lot of businesses do when they look at the state of New York, they look at, first of all, they look at the workforce. Is there a viable workforce? Is there a community that would support, my employees and my business? Are there other businesses that are going to directly support the business? Is there competition in the region? But more importantly, for an intensive energy consumer, they're going to look at the cost of energy. And that low-cost energy makes all the difference in the world as to whether a business is going to land here or somewhere else in the U.S. And you got to remember, they're competing globally, not locally. So they're also looking at, operations in other nations where they're heavily subsidized. And a lot of times, that low-cost hydropower makes the absolute difference for a business to land here in Western New York.
Maybe more more generally, or on a more macroscopic view, how important is it to be moving towards clean energy? Why clean energy, and what is the future, or is it the future of energy?
That's a great question, and consistent with the governor's goals and objectives under the clean energy stand and the state's energy plan. If we're going to fight climate change, we're going to reduce those harmful air pollution, and also to ensure that there's a diverse, reliable, low carbon energy supply, hydropower becomes very significant in that mix, and more renewable energy is going to become more significant. The governor's goal is to require 50% of the electricity supplied in, or consumed in the state to come from clean, renewable sources. So this hydropower was in the baseline of that calculation. There may not be huge opportunities to build new hydro facilities in the state because you're limited by, you know, the waterways. However, there's a huge opportunity to build solar and other biomass type facilities, wind farms, that, you know, that are going to be important to the energy mix going forward.
And what's NYPA's involvement with those other types of energy?
That's a great question. So NYPA recently released a large-scale renewables RFP that's currently out there. We're soliciting bids to bring in large-scale renewables into the state in order to meet the governor's state energy plan objectives.
Okay. And if at all, what's your cooperation or relationship with our Canadian neighbors?
It's another great question. So we have an international treaty with Canada. A treaty was executed in 1909 and then revised in 1950. It's a water diversion treaty, and basically what we do is we split the water that flows across the Niagara River, taking, you know, about half of it into our Fort Bay for the Niagara Power Project, and then Canada takes the other half for their own hydro operations. So that's a you know, that's a treaty that's been in place for over 100 years. There's communications between, you know, Canada and the United States, certainly through the Power Authority, on, you know, when we're operating the facilities and how, you know, water is being diverted. When there's ice on the river, there has to be close coordination to break up that ice to make sure we're not reducing the flows into the facilities. So there is very tight coordination. We rely heavily on Canada to ensure efficient operations.
So is there a lot of maintenance during the winter months then? It's
absolutely
kind of interesting. Yeah. When the water freezes over it.
There's ice booms out there, and there's also boats that serve to break up the ice to keep, you know, the ice flows moving.
Oh, really?
You don't want to clog up the intake structures, which reduces the flow, you know, into the forebays.
That's interesting. So I think when people think of Niagara Falls, the first thing they think of is tourism. They get millions of people there mm-hmm. each year. And I understand that you guys have started to capitalize on that. You've completely revamped the Power Vista to attract people and entertain them while they're there. Can you talk a little bit about some of the changes that have come about there?
Sure. So to try and visualize it, it's a very interactive facility now. We call it sort of the Disneyland of you know, of the power utilities. So it's interactive and it's educational. What we're trying to do is, you know, especially with children, you're trying to teach them about, you know, this again, this very important natural asset, and you want to make that interactive. You want to digitize that experience, and that's what we've done with the facility, so that we have a very positive, interactive experience, digital experience with children and visitors, which again is going to hopefully enhance tourism in the region and even attract more folks.
What are some of those interactive things that people might get to do if they visit?
So there's one of the things you get is you get a bracelet when you check in, and I think there's pictures that are taken as you tour through the facility, and you could actually get them on the way out. The difference between us and Disneyland is we don't charge you for it. But there's some interactive screens that, you know, children can touch and work with, and things to actually put their hands on, which makes it a very positive experience.
It sounds like the only difference between you and Disneyland.
Exactly.
So what are some of the things that people walk out of there most amazed by?
I think people walk out of there most amazed by the fact that, you know, this is a clean, reliable, huge energy source. And you don't have to pollute the environment. You don't have to, you know, kill animals, fish, in order to do it. I think children get a great appreciation for where the future of the energy industry is actually going. And that's a pollutant-free industry. The other thing, too, is I think children walk away with a greater appreciation for energy. And the fact that when you go and turn on that light switch, or you fire up your, you know, your iPad or your device, that's actually being powered by electricity that's generated by this clean renewable source that NYPA has the benefit or the opportunity to operate on behalf of the state.
And with such a big platform, what other ways does NYPA influence the community? I know that you guys are involved in so many different things.
Yeah, so one of the things we do is we take some of that unutilized power and we monetize it, and then we provide grants to businesses that are, you know, either to attract them or to help them grow in the region. So we're not only, you know, a direct source supply to a business, but that unused power is also being utilized to help attract and grow businesses in the state.
And you guys have some local partnerships as well, right?
Local partnerships.
I think that I read on the website with, you know, your partnership with 43 North and some involvement in some of the innovation community.
So we've supported 43 North since its inception. And again, we use the Power Proceeds Program to do that. So funding the awards ceremonies, you know, some of the biggest business attraction competitions I think that have ever been put on the books were held right here in Western New York. And NYPA has been proud to be a partner with 43 North in supporting that effort. That's one great example.
Right. And looking forward to the future, how else would you like to see NYPA influencing the local economy or helping small business or anything like that?
I'll tell you what I'd love to do. I'd love to allocate every single megawatt of the 695 megawatts that are targeted for attracting and retaining businesses within the 30-mile radius of the Power Authority. In addition to that, we have long-term contracts with our munis and rural electric cooperative customers, the 51 that I mentioned earlier, throughout the state. And we're looking to, again, to build on that and extend, you know, that agreement well into the future. So that's just another example. We want to make sure that the low-cost, reliable, clean power is being utilized for economic development purposes, and again, consistent with the governor's goals and objectives, and revitalizing, you know, the Buffalo area in particular.
Right. Okay. And last thing, we have a little blizzard round for you.
Okay.
Some people would call it a lightning round. We don't do that. We call it a blizzard round. So it's Buffalo branded. So if you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Chocolate.
Nice. Text or phone call?
Phone call.
You're out of market, but Bills or Sabres?
Bills.
You could pick one more team.
Sabres.
Pick them too? Okay. Hiking or skiing?
Skiing.
And chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Oh, drumstick.
Easily. Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
It was my absolute pleasure. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, guys, that was my conversation with Keith Hayes. If you're a really good listener in the Blizzard round, he was a little bit hesitant to name a non-Buffalo team. He named the Bills and the Sabres. I will say that off mic, I got his real favorite teams out of him because he's not from Buffalo, so I figured there was no way that it was both the Bills and the Sabres, so I did get his real teams out of him. But that information will stay between Keith and I. I made a vow to him. I'll keep it between us. Thanks for listening, guys. Rate us on iTunes. And end of podcast. Bye.